Everyone, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Rachel Roberts.
And this is The Daily Dish.
It's kind of a weird week because both me and Megan were traveling.
Right. Not together, by the way.
No.
Separately.
So there's some solo interviews.
Yeah.
I got to interview Siggy and Dolores, which is really exciting.
Cool. Jersey ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, you know what? My face actually looks good. I don't need anything, but I'd like to get Botox in my earlobes. He goes, excuse me?
And you talked to
Vicky and her boyfriend, Steve. Yes. She helped me trick him into coming on the show.
I'm so curious, what else was on the vision board?
I put George Clooney in the middle with a suit, and I said, I want a good-looking man.
And then I got to talk to Captain Lee, who was perfect in everything I wanted him to be.
Captains usually think that they're the know-all, be-all, and they're just the cat's ass.
So, sorry it's a little disjointed this week, but we weren't together.
Sorry. But before we get into those amazing interviews, we're here with Jocelyn Vina, news editor at The Daily Dish for BravoTV.com.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
It's a lot of stuff's been happening in the world.
I know, and I feel so out of the loop because I haven't been plugged in.
Well, get ready to plug in.
Oh, I'm ready.
Let's first start with sort of everything that's kind of been happening around Kelly Dodd's divorce, which she announced
right.
a few weeks
yes.
back. 11 years, her and Michael are done. All the ladies have kind of been reacting in different ways on The Daily Dish. We've had stuff from Peggy and Shannon and Vicky, and Vicky's kind of offered her advice because we've seen her get divorced on the show. And
right.
so what that's kind of like to have your divorce in the public eye. And she's kind of just said, you know, stay neutral, kind of keep as much as you can off the cameras as possible. Which I think is like some pretty good advice. I mean, from somebody who's kind of been there and done that.
Yeah, and I think that if you look at Vicky and Dawn, that's very true. Like, I still feel like we didn't see it all. Like, we know that they broke up. We heard some details later from like Lori and other people and stuff came out. But like, as far as it happening on camera, yeah. it didn't really.
I think as someone going through it, it's great advice. For me as a viewer, it's terrible advice because I want
right,
to see
yeah.
the drama.
Right.
But I get it.
They have a very young daughter.
Yeah, yeah, right. yeah.
So it's probably best that someday down the line she won't have to watch her parents kind of separate on television.
On television. Yeah, 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 that's probably great.
It's probably good advice. And she's looking for a new place to live, Kelly, courtesy of Real Estate Wars' Leo.
So no way.
A lot of crossover action happening
there.
Keeping
it in the family.
And the Bravo Labs working together.
I can't believe she's going to leave her kitchen or her bar in her closet.
Would you? Maybe it's like a requirement. Maybe that's
yeah,
like
maybe the next place
also has to have that. Yeah, totally. So that's just, it's a changing story. It's always being updated. So The Daily Dish will have all the latest updates.
Yeah.
As they happen.
California's a no-fault state, right?
California. Yes.
So you could cheat away. That's what that means. Just to be clear.
You're from California. Just
I am from California to give some context.
To why you
I don't
know
just
that.
Know about California law randomly.
Other end of the spectrum, Cameron Eubanks, very close to welcoming her first child into the world. She recently had a baby shower and it had a cake.
Okay.
And I'm going to show you a photo of the cake.
Yeah, I want to see it.
And you guys can kind of react to it and then we could describe
oh my God.
What is happening in the cake.
What?
It's
who made it?
Well, Whitney commissioned it, so maybe that also adds context
oh, yes,
to it.
Yes.
She approved and she loved it, as you could see from the Instagram caption. She was totally cool with it.
So it's like a baby doll coming out of an ice cream womb vagina.
I don't know if it's
I
ice
would
cream.
Say.
I think it's strawberry
or strawberry filling.
I think
okay.
it's like a red velvet cake with strawberry
Jocelyn
filling.
Jocelyn studied this photo.
Well, because yeah, I wrote the post about it. So I think it's a red velvet cake with like a strawberry filling that the baby is emerging out of.
Oh, so just
God.
And yeah, there's like two arms up and the baby's head coming out.
Yeah,
and to
I mean,
eat the cake, you would have to slice into the vagina.
But yeah, so it's happening.
I can't believe Patricia likes it. Patricia's in this
Patricia
photo.
Is smiling next to the cake. Yeah,
yeah,
that was maybe the most shocking part.
It's too graphic for me.
Yeah. So it's realistic.
She also revealed the baby's name on Instagram stories.
What is it?
Palmer Corrine Wimberly.
Palmer. Wait,
and
Palmer?
It's a girl. She's having a girl.
Yeah.
Palmer. Like Arnold.
I was going to say
right,
maybe he's an avid golfer, the
oh,
dad.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
And it's a little androgynous. So kind
yeah,
of
yeah,
yeah.
I do like androgynous names. And what's the middle name?
Corrine.
Corrine. Oh, that's
so
nice.
It's like feminine in the
yeah.
yeah, in the middle.
Softens it a little bit.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's cute.
Pommy. I think that's what they'll call her.
Right. Little palm.
Little palm. Oh, my little pom-pom. Oh.
Little palm tree.
Oh. It's very southern South Carolina.
It is very, like, it does have, like, very Charleston kind of vibe to it.
I just know about all the states. Grace is very impressed with my state knowledge. Anyway, moving on.
And finally, to wrap it up, your girl and boy, Tom and Katie Maloney Schwartz.
Tomcat.
Tomcat. Our own Tomcat.
Right.
They're in Iceland for their 1 year kind of anniversary trip.
Oh, that's fun.
That is fun. She says that they chose there because it's very, like, Instagram worthy. And she's been posting some photos, and it looks as moody and sort of romantic as you would think a trip to Iceland would be.
I feel like this is a very, like, adult trip where you're gonna be like sightseeing,
right. You're not like doing tequila shots, right?
Out of tampons,
and then like fighting in an alleyway somewhere,
like on pirate ships, drinking. So, like, I think this is a new chapter,
totally.
For Tomcat,
yeah, I like it. It's like the grown up Maloney Schwartzes,
yeah,
they've grown up right before our eyes.
They have, truly. What a week!
It's only Wednesday.
It's only Wednesday. And yet there's been so much, and this cake is going to be burned into my brain.
Yes, yeah. Everyone go to BravoTV.com.
Inspo. It's baby shower inspo.
Oh, right. Look at the cake. Pin it, you know, to your board.
Yeah, and then when you can also.
I also just want to comment how skinny she still is. Like, there's a cake in front of her, but I would never know that she was pregnant. And
that's
she's
true.
About to pop in a month.
Yeah, like, within.
Those gals are so lucky that just carry in the tummy.
She's one of those people from behind you would never know, and then she turns and it's like,
and then you still don't really know.
Exactly. But thank you, Jocelyn.
No, thank you.
And all the links to the articles we talked about are in the description.
Let's get into Siggy and Dolores. Hey everyone, it's Rachel, and I am here with Siggy Flicker.
Hi everybody.
Hi, thank you so much for being here today, Siggy.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So we were just kind of talking about the season, and you were saying that a lot happened to you this season.
Yeah, I mean, this season was definitely, for me, better than last season. Last season, everything was about, you know, when you have friends and you love them, and you want them to come together, especially with Jacqueline and Teresa, that's a 16-year friendship that was coming apart. If you're a good person and you have a heart, you're not going to, you know, encourage that friendship to fall apart. You're going to want to try to help them glue it back together.
Definitely.
That's what somebody with compassion and a heart does. This season, all the crap lands on my front door. So what I mean by that is, this season we have a new housewife, and I was, you know, introducing her to my group of friends, to the group. I knew her from a previous person in my town. So we both have a mutual friend.
Okay.
Me and Margaret do not have history. She's never seen the inside of my kitchen. She's never met my children or my husband, but I've only heard great things about her. So Rachel, if you're going to introduce me to somebody, you're going to say, I want you to meet Molly. And I'm going to say, Molly, I want everybody to come meet Molly. She's Rachel's friend. She's wonderful. She's this, she's, you know, beats to her own drum. I'm looking to put people together and to have fun.
Right.
Right?
Of course.
I introduce her to everybody. I take everybody to Boca because, you know, Teresa's just been through a tumultuous period in her life. It was Melissa's birthday. I had nothing but good intentions, nothing but a beautiful weekend planned, and it all went sour.
Ugh.
And here comes my best friend, Dolores Catania.
Yes, Dolores is here. Hi. Dolores just joined us.
Yeah, so it was very, very hard for me because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you got to, you know, to me, actions speak louder than words. I'm welcoming somebody. I'm rolling out the red carpet. I'm being nothing but nice. Little digs are coming at me. Snarky remarks. She snaps at my husband and says inappropriate things that are below the belt. So I'm a little bit taken back thinking, okay, if I have a history with this girl, maybe we vacationed in the past and maybe we got in a fight. I have no history with her to come at me.
No,
and you'll hear like Dolores or somebody saying, you know, you never know what people's past is. It doesn't matter. We are human beings. I was raised by parents who taught me acts of kindness. You treat people as if you would the way that you want to be treated. I was nothing but kind. I never started anything. You'll watch episode one, and I guarantee you, you will not find one thing in episode one that shows me coming at anybody. My heart was in the right place. Am I loud? Yes. Am I over the top? yes, mm-hmm. I have the tagline, some people think I'm too much for a reason. I already know it. The people who I'm too much for, they're not for me. But still, at the end of the day, even if you have a problem with me, there's a certain way to treat another human being. Mm-hmm. I was blindsided and I was very hurt right off the bat at what went down in Boca on mm-hmm. top of a cake that was thrown across the floor right. in a restaurant.
Right. So, yeah, basically what you're saying is that you brought this person in. You didn't really know them super well, but through an acquaintance, you're going to embrace them.
Right away, she had her nose up Teresa and Melissa's ass. Mm. She couldn't wait. She was, you know, I'm going to go and I want to be with these girls, which is fine. Chemistry is everything. I don't have chemistry with you. I wish you nothing, but there's a way of doing it with a little bit of dignity, a little bit of respect, and a little bit of class. It was not done that way. When you're coming into my town, where I have a second home, my babies were born in Boca. I've been a member of the Boca Hotel and Resort for 25 years. I planned a beautiful weekend. After the cake got thrown in across the floor, that was between me and Melissa and Teresa. They're my friends, and we'll talk about that. But the following morning...
The key word is between them.
Mm.
The following morning, when I get phone calls from my friends at the beach club saying, Siggy, your friends are here and you're not here. That was also extremely hurtful to me. Mm. You give me a call in the morning and say, you know what, Siggy, I don't agree with you. That's fine. I am the type of person where I throw a cake in a public restaurant. I think you over-exaggerated. To each their own. But not to get a phone call, not to get a text from Margaret. You know, you'll hear from Danielle saying, I asked you to have yoga. That's not the same thing. I was not invited to the beach club. I was very, very insulted, and it got worse.
They know how to call us when they want to go out, though.
Yeah.
More than once.
Yeah. But I was very, very insulted. And now everybody wants to do a little bit of backtracking, and they want Siggy to get over it. But I'm not going to get over it. I'm a leader. I'm not a follower. I stand up for what's right. And as long as my parents, Mordechai and Rachel, stand beside me and say, Siggy, enough is enough. You got to stand up for yourself. I'm confident in how I, you know, handled myself. There's not one thing that I would take back this season.
So why no regrets.
Was I over the top? Absolutely. But I'm like that every single day of my life. You
She's
want
a
authentic?
Passionate person.
I'm passionate. You got passion. You've got the authentic passion in me. But what happened to me, I would never wish for my worst enemy to have. It really blindsided me and it really hurt me. And for weeks, I was like, I don't understand what I did. Now I'm over that. I don't care what you have against me. The way you treated me, I wouldn't even treat an animal like that. It was disrespectful. And I could tell you one thing. I'm loud and I'm over the top. But what I'm not is mean, entitled. I don't behave like this.
Mm-hmm.
I have empathy. I have compassion. I have a heart. I have a soul. That's all I could say.
Well, I kind of want to bring it back. You two came into the franchise together.
Yes.
Yes.
Had you watched before? I mean, I know you were friends with Teresa. Did you know what you were getting into?
Yeah. I was friends with them. You know, and when this all started, it was Sex and the City days. So Thursday night was nights out. You dressed up in your Jimmy Choo's. You went to Pastis. And we all, Dina, Teresa, Caroline, Jacqueline, we'd all go out on a Thursday night and go home. And you know, and still I was like, geez, I don't know. And I would make appearances and cameos.
Mm-hmm.
And then things had gone on in my own life and my kids. And the timing was not right for me. And I was in school. I was getting an education, something I always wanted to do. That would have taken, if I would have stopped that for 1 second to even go to the bathroom, if I would have walked away from that book to even go pee, I wouldn't have went back to it. It was so hard for me. And I, you know, I was getting my little degree. That meant so much to me. My kids were at a time where they needed me, sports and rides. And I'm a single mom. And that was, all they had was me. I couldn't pull myself away from them. And, you know, now's the time for me. So it is, and I have experienced so much in the 7 years in my own life in so many different levels. And I feel like I want to tell people about it. I want to help women. I want to say, listen, I know the end to this play. This happened to you. Let me let you know how it's going to end. You're going to be okay. Cause look at me.
Yeah.
So I went through I went through relationships, you know, a few different things with my kids, you know, raising them and working, going from having a ton of money to walking into an entry level job where people were treating me so horrible. People want to make you feel stupid when you're not sure of yourself. And
take advantage of you.
They take advantage, and you meet your real friends on that road. And I met people at that job that stuck up for me against people they worked with for a long time because of the way they treated me, and I'm still their friend. These are, I just, you know, I'm so blessed in a lot of ways, but at the same time, my relationship with my ex-husband is very significant. I could tell everybody about that. I get calls from divorced women all the time. How'd you do it?
Mm.
He cheated on you. He left you when you were pregnant. How'd you do it? So,
is that like a positive thing that's come out of the show? Is you guys having like a platform to kind of help others?
That's the most positive thing besides, you know, Siggy and...
The fact that I met Dolores,
it's fun at times. I cannot deny.
I don't think that there's anything
sometimes
fun about
I
the
laugh
show.
So hard.
She I think that the best thing that came out of the show for me was Dolores Catania.
Good times
with you, I do.
We laugh.
I have to tell you, there's certain
things that
I love hanging out.
Sometimes
when it's Teresa, Melissa, Dolores, and Siggy, I can laugh.
There you go.
Sometimes when I'm filming with people that I'm uncomfortable with,
but when you bring in the new people,
my mother went to a kosher butcher shop to buy meat, and the butcher says, "Oh my God, I love your daughter on the show." And he goes, "Does she really cry a lot?" My mother's like, "No, my Sigalit no cry a lot. She cry a lot on the show because she no like certain women, like uncomfortable. It's you're out to get me, and now I have to go to a foreign country with you. It's very uncomfortable."
See, I've been through so much, and what I say to her is she has such a good life. I mean, and she hasn't always. She's worked hard for everything she has. She has such a good life. So, but I've been through so much disappointment in the past 7 years and a lot of heartache. I have to remind her, Siggy, this is, get used. I'm sorry that I'm used to this, but I'm happy that you're not. But I hate to see you hurt, and I can't help you right now because sometimes she's so hurt. I say, "Siggy, when you calm down, call me. Because I know I'm not going to get through to you now because you're not used to this, and unfortunately I am."
But I have to tell you something. I can't keep on apologizing for being sensitive and having a heart. Mm-hmm. And I have been through a lot. I was a nanny. I was a waitress. I hustled my whole life. I didn't have an upbringing like with a silver spoon in my mouth. But at the end of the day, what I can't take and what hurts me a lot is when people treat you with such harshness and cruelness for no apparent reason. If you have a reason behind it, I don't think that I would have been that upset. Meaning,
no.
But there was no reason.
If they got in a fight, it came from nowhere.
Right off the bat, you will see in episode one, dig after dig after dig.
People
I'm
love
not
her.
Used to that.
But this is the thing. People love Siggy. How could you not? Her advice, I've been all over the world. I've been through a lot in my life, bar none. Not because she's my friend, because her damn advice is damn good. And I mean, that's why.
But I just want the best for my friends.
She speaks from her heart in a street smart kind of way.
Right.
If I go to someone, they're talking to me from a textbook, they lose me. Mm. Because they're not talking to me from an experience. You can't tell me how I feel or felt. This one's been through it all, and she tells you. So she's like, "Why is this person not liking me?" But
it's not even liking me. Why is this person disrespecting me?
Mm.
Meaning in my life, I have enough friends. I can afford to lose one or two here and there. I have enough. I've got great kids. I have a husband. I have a full life. I didn't need any new friend. I wanted to know why I was mistreated. I wanted to know why she was going out of her way to make remarks, take me down. When women get together, we build each other up, or at least we try to. This was the most toxic situation right off the bat for me, but it left me like this.
She was bewildered.
I was bewildered by it. But then what I did is I took that and I got angry and I started fighting back. So this season, last season, you saw a peacemaker. I'm still a peacemaker. But if somebody's being abused, I never give them advice. Listen, ask your abuser what position they want you in. If they want you on your knees, on the side, they want you from behind, in front. No. You stand up. You stand up and you fight back. And I fight back with everything in my body. And you know what? You'll see how it all goes down. You'll see it for yourself.
I want to talk just a little bit about Jersey. The show is about New Jersey.
I love Jersey.
What would
no place like it. Sorry.
Things that you need to know about Jersey if you were going there.
Worst drivers in the world. When you're in Jersey, you better look to the left and the right, because at any second, somebody's slamming right into you. Jersey drivers are the worst drivers in the world. It makes me proud. Like, I'm almost proud saying it. I think Jersey is the most beautiful state. I think it's called the Garden State. People seem to remember us from a dumpster. Every state has a dumpster where crap goes into. Every state, New York, Connecticut, I'm not going to name all 50 states. But for some reason, people always remember on the way back from Newark, you have a dumpster, whatever that is, that land.
The landfill?
Yes, Jersey.
Oh, I don't care about that.
Other people do. You don't, because we love Jersey.
I love Jersey. What I love is there's like an intimate thing about Jersey where everyone knows each other. Everybody, for me, not everybody, most people are very welcoming. Mm-hmm. Most people grew up on the same block as their aunts and their uncles. It's very incestuous is what I say, and not in a bad way, in a good way, where you know somebody knows their families, you know the background. Knowing the background about people is the best thing and the biggest thing you could do, because then you know who to stay away from and who not to.
Yes, and then you know who to trust and who not. That's,
and then, you know what?
That was a very good point, Dolores.
When you're buying a dog or a horse, you look at the breed they come from.
Yes.
In New Jersey, you're most likely to know where that person came from and who they came from. Mm. And you know a little bit about their history.
And that was the problem this season.
Mm. Yeah. So my thing is also in Jersey, when I go somewhere else, like I could be walking on an island on a beach and the guy's like the Islander guy? He's like, Jersey. I don't know. Or like we talk fast, maybe we talk loud, we talk fast. I had to learn to let people finish what they were saying.
Oh my God, I do that too, and I get in trouble for it all the time. And they're like, "Let me finish." I'm like, "I'm just trying to help you,
right?
I'm trying to get it going,
right?" Because we can't do that.
No, we people have to hate stop. It.
I work on that.
You know, I when too. I go to Florida,
I had to learn that very late in life.
When I go to Florida, and I go almost every month, I sometimes have to get in my car when people are just stopped, and I have to like traffic. Let's move it, everybody.
She does.
Let's move it, then I'll get back in my car. Just if things are not at a fast pace, especially for me and Dolores, it's got to move. We can't just be sitting around. And that's why it works
we
so well in Jersey.
We go to the dirtiest nail salon in the world, not the country, in the whole world. It's so dirty, we need a tetanus shot when we leave. I'm surprised that we even have toenails and fingernails left, but they are so fast. We don't even care. First of all, we throw our clothes out before we get in the house. Yes. Where we go.
No, we're not kidding. Like when we go there, I'll say to my nail girl, I'll say, Mimi, this place is so disgusting. I think I'm walking out of here with gonorrhea. It's gross.
She's like, okay, Miss Siggy.
Miss Siggy, I love you. And I'm like, she goes, Miss Siggy, you funny.
No, she goes, I'm not Mimi. This is the dirtiest place I've ever seen in my life. Mimi, you're eating on basically the toilet bowl.
Right.
The toilet There's bowl is cleaner everywhere. Than where you're eating. Yes. And she's like, it's okay. Yeah,
it's okay. We
but
like
you. Know
you.
What? By the time we're done complaining, we're done.
Well, both of your nails look great.
They're very talented the there.
They're so but it's fast. Nice. We can't sit. You know, somebody just asked me. I said I'm blind. They're like, you don't go to the doctor. I can't sit for that. Mm. I cannot sit.
No, I will not sit in a waiting room.
I need
room.
To go.
Yeah.
See, I don't sit in waiting rooms anyway.
But we both need reading glasses.
Very, very bad.
Very bad.
Well, we go to the gynecologist together. That's the only way we could get it. The guy needs a vacation when we leave.
So this season, both Dolores and I had a hysterectomy, mm-hmm. a full hysterectomy
a year ago. Great scene.
And I lost, you know, when you go into, it's not by choice. And we go and we get, I don't have any estrogen or testosterone. So we get pellets.
Derek DeSilva.
Donovitz. Oh. And let me just say something. They make an incision on your upper hip, upper butt. And right now we have...
For any age, you do.
For any age.
I feel like a new person.
It's
my whole
changed
life
everything
changed.
For us.
No, wait. So they
just,
do
it's
an incision.
A small
they take
incision,
blood
they
work.
They give you a little lidocaine.
They find out what your body is missing and they make pellets
she
for your
no
body.
She had no testosterone. No estrogen.
No way.
My skin cleared up.
I had no testosterone, no estrogen.
I feel... Yes. Within 4 hours, my memory was really bad. Like, my memory was... I almost thought I had Alzheimer's. I was very concerned.
Dolores
runs in my family.
Calls me up. She's like, Siggy, we just got injected with Prozac because I'm feeling good.
I'm like, what's in those pellets?
That's amazing.
My life got so clear to me. And they do it from even in your 20s, they do it.
Absolutely.
What kind of doctor is it?
It's a hormone.
It's a bioidentical places. Hormones.
Okay. Yes.
Dr. De Silva from Channel 12 News. We go to his office.
I'm
vacation as we leave as
when
well.
When we leave, they're all taking out their Advil. But the point is.
We go to see the plastic surgeon together because we have to feed off each other so we could sit for
God.
The appointment.
Last week we were at the plastic surgeon's office.
His face was red. He was sweating.
And he goes, Siggy.
His assistant had to wipe his head. It was so bad.
It was hysterical. It was a scene.
Dr. Mark Karolak.
The best doctor in the world. So he says, Siggy, why are you here? And I'm like, well, you know, my face actually looks good. I don't need anything, but I'd like to get Botox in my earlobes. He goes, excuse me? He goes, you know when you have hanging earrings?
Oh.
So if you fill that up with Botox, then you have your
they
earrings.
They lift?
They lift right away.
No way.
Yes, it's the latest.
You have to talk to us.
Oh,
we can tell you
Rachel.
What are the... Okay, so we
I gained 7 pounds a month. I was like, what's going on? Doctors were like, why don't you go work out? I'm like, because I could fall asleep at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I can't get past the day. I'm tired. All right, well, you know, just stop going out to eat. I go out to eat, but like not that much. Nothing's warranting this. Something's right. Not right. And finally I found that, you know, we found the doctors. That
That's
you come to us because I became Jewish. I don't take no for an answer.
Yeah. I just have one more quick question before we wrap up. You were talking about meeting Reza. What other Bravo celebrities do you know?
And oh, have
you
Housewives from Dallas.
We love Stephanie
and Carrie. The best, most nicest.
Perfect, Dolores and I like people who are giving, loyal, kind, those compassionate. And they the most important thing, we cannot stand. Not for one second. If you have entitlement issues, you cannot be in my life. I don't like people who are entitled.
These girls are beautiful people. They are so beautiful aesthetically. They're gorgeous. Like, we sat next to them. They're like, can we sit next to you? We met them at a fashion show. They're like, we were like, you want to sit next to us? I don't know
why. we were dropping F-bombs.
Looked so bad at the fashion show. They asked me not to sit. Remember? I came. I was at a ponytail. I had like a schmata on. So the guy was like, he was like nasty to me. From Carol Bona. They had to send me flowers the next day. I got an invite. I'm like, what's your problem? He's like, he was so snobby, right?
He was so snobby.
We never went back.
No, he sent you flowers.
Good, yeah. But
if somebody's not nice to me, but anyway, me looking like that, here come the Dallas cheerleaders. They're like, can we sit there? I'm like, if you want,
look at Siggy. I'm like this. Dolores, they're not going to understand.
They needed to buy Urban Dictionary when they left.
After they left. And I was like, they don't understand. You've got an F-16 and an F-22 right next to you. Dolores is like, we're going off.
I was in rare form. I was barely making it to the fashion show. My phone was dying on the way in. There was at the charging station was full. I was now crippled.
It's the best time, though.
And I was like, and then I see her, and it's
when you hang out with people who are not toxic and they want the best for you, life is good.
When someone has your best intentions, yes. And when somebody will give you the shirt off her back, like this one, it gives you strength. You know somebody has your back. Now, I have family. I'm one of five. We're very, very close. We grew up in a very close house. Like, it was like, that was what we had. It's all we had. But to find somebody outside of that that understands your life and has had lived through things. My sisters are married, their first boyfriends. Mm. How much about my life can I talk to them about?
Right.
How much can they understand what it's like for me to have been a single mom? I had an infant and a 3-year-old. They don't, my family really didn't get it. They wanted to be there for me, but they didn't understand. Then when you find somebody like her and she gets me, or she'll call and say, I know you're having a bad day.
It hurts my heart when she calls are in the morning. She goes, I love.
I would really could enjoy my life a lot better if I knew you were settled.
And sometimes I don't like to talk to Dolores because
it'll affect you.
No, it's sometimes if she calls me and I'm like, yeah, I'm with Michael and he's my husband to me. It took me a long time to find him.
But I'm not like that.
No, it's not even that. Because I want her to have what I have and share. Like, I want to be with her.
Like, she doesn't want to throw it in my...
I don't want to throw it in your face.
Like, she's just being considerate even though I don't think that way.
Okay, but you see what I'm talking about?
My boyfriend's like,
it's called... Dolores will think about every animal and every human being before herself. I like people who are considerate. And the way that I was treated on the show by a few of the castmates, it was rude on the highest level. And you're going to have to tune in to see how it unfolds.
Well, that's
I just hope that people see how close we are. I don't know how it's going to look on air. But, you know, there was... The two of us just really stuck together through thick and thin this year.
Well, I just want to say I can definitely tell you two are close. You guys are like twins almost, the way you guys communicate and talk to each other.
That's true, yeah.
And secondly, maybe like Sex and the City, you guys are each other's soulmates.
We are. Right. Oh. So Dolores is, I always say. I said, come on, guys. Can't we do like Sex and the City?
And they went like this. That's not what you signed up for. So put on your boxing gloves and let's get ready to rumble.
And I'm like,
well, thank you guys so much for coming. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much, Siggy and Dolores, for not only coming on our show, but teaching me so much about what I can do to improve myself, like taking magic pills that give me all the vitamins that I need, Botox my earlobes. I feel like I just have all these things I need to do now because I just turned 30 and I'm old.
Hey guys, it's Megan. I was on vacation, but I managed to still get in an interview with Vicki Gunvalson and her boyfriend Steve. Yeah, I'm that dedicated. It was amazing. He is such a reserved, like complete opposite of Vicki, but they definitely seem to care about each other and answered some of my hard-hitting questions, like, should we believe that recent report that they're engaged? Find out. Everyone, it is a special day because Vicki Gunvalson is here on the podcast. Now, this is your second time. Mm-hmm. Actually, we talked on the phone doing an interview.
We did.
But today, it's live. Special treat because Steve is with her. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Now, look on his face tells me he didn't fully know he was going to be on the podcast today.
He didn't know.
That's okay.
But I did email him the itinerary. I just don't think he saw it. With Steve Lodge. Like, he thought maybe he was going to just be here, but he's really here.
I thought I was just coming along for the ride.
No, there's no ride, baby. Fasten your seatbelts.
I've been walked into this before.
Yeah, so okay.
Similar.
Well, I don't want him to be bored or left out, so I'm going to include him.
Well, boring is not a word I'd use.
He's never bored with me. We're always doing something.
I have some questions. The fans have some questions, Steve. Did you know what you were getting into when you started dating this lovely lady?
Not even close.
Given your background in law enforcement, did you ever run a background check on her?
No, because after I got to know her and found out her life is on film, so it wasn't difficult to see and hear from everybody else, anything about her. So I didn't have to. Besides, she sells insurance and annuities, so she's been checked out by the government. I know that.
Yeah, trustworthy gal.
Yeah. Right.
Have you watched past seasons now to kind of get a
feel? No, I don't want to go in reverse. You go forward from when I met her. For me, I don't watch the past stuff unless there's something that comes on that's an old clip. Because a lot of times when they, are doing the flashbacks. Are showing it, they show those back scenes.
But he said he never had watched a show when he asked me to watch, right? So that's kind of unusual, right?
Don't you think? Was that a plus or a minus for you?
It was a plus because it was on my vision board. I didn't want somebody to already had known all about my past, my relationships and things like that. And so I wanted him to go in just fully organic and naive. I want him to know me from this point forward. So I think it was really neat that he didn't know me.
I'm so curious. What else was on the vision board?
Well, so I have four quadrants on my vision board, and I did it in January of 2016. And by April, every single thing was manifested and came to life.
Oh,
and
like
one of them was him.
Amazing.
I put George Clooney in the middle with a suit, and I said, I want a good-looking man. I want a man that loves his family and loves the Lord. And I wanted a man that was a businessman and had his own money, had his own career. and I wanted a man that was charming, good-looking, that my daughter would love. And literally all 10 things were him.
Right.
All 10. It wasn't one thing that I wanted somebody calm. I wanted somebody that loved me and didn't want drama. Because Lord knows I have enough going on in my personal life and public life. And it really was incredible how it just, even with my business, I wanted a franchise. And within May of last year, I met a partner and we're franchising now. So all of those things came true. It was incredible.
That's amazing. Yeah. And was Vicki on your vision board?
I didn't have a vision board. I met her at a charity event in Anaheim for the Boys and Girls Club. And like you were saying, was that a plus or a minus not knowing? I think it was probably a minus for me not knowing because I had no idea what it entailed, her life entailed. So it was a very quick learning process.
Like, I might be on a little reality show for 12 years. He goes, what does that mean? I'm like, I might be recognized with some people every now and then. And so we went out to dinner our first day. He was like, can I have a picture? He goes, what's going on? I'm like, well, it's that little reality show I told you about. That's happening. So
that has to be crazy because I've been watching from the beginning. So it's always.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So that's a long time. You were like in grade school.
Lifelong fan.
12 years.
So it's weird to me that there are still people in this world that don't recognize who you are.
I know. I know. How many countries are we? Are like 70 countries?
I don't know.
I heard last night from Ronnie Blansky, who does my earrings, that we're in Iraq and Iran and like everywhere in Jerusalem. Like they if we landed right now in the Middle East, we would be recognized.
Crazy.
I've never been there. So I think it's really interesting and neat that people can get an inside look to our lives and
yeah,
love us or hate us, right? Don't hate me. I'm very sensitive.
It's right? kind of been a rough season. Are you still having fun?
Actually, I don't think this season's rough. I think the past seasons were really rough. That last 3 years of prior to this season. This season, I'm just trying to move on.
Right.
I can't go backwards, like Steve said, in the past anymore. I'm over it. The train has left the station. Like, we are in a new place. I don't want to talk about my ex anymore. Yeah. I don't want to talk about a private conversation I had with Kelly anymore. It's over.
Yeah.
And I can't continue to keep talking about it. They've all made mistakes. They've all talked about me. But when somebody talks about them, they don't like it. So right. I don't blame them because it's not nice. So I'm trying to move it along. Right. You know? So I don't feel like this year's rough. I feel like it's really quite interesting and fun. I've got a man that loves me and loves my family, and I love his family. And so I think it's good. I think they just need to see more of happy things instead of all this toxic negativity and women acting like children. Like, we're women. We have to be able to set an example for other women. We all get our feelings hurt. Lord knows I've gotten mine hurt, but I'm not going to stay in there. I'm willing to forgive and move on. So I just hope that they follow my lead. I'm the matriarch. I've been there the longest. I am the oldest. So, you know, I want to show younger generations that we can get hurt and we can move on and we can be forgiving, because otherwise you end up in this terrible place where you can't get over it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I didn't kill anybody. I didn't steal anybody's husband. I mean, okay, let's go. Right?
Right.
Let's have fun.
In tonight's episode, we see that, like, you guys, you and Tamara don't move forward.
It was really hard for me. I just watched it real briefly before we came here right now. I didn't get to watch the whole episode, but when I asked her to tea, it was not a shot of tequila. It was just, let's go get some iced tea together or coffee. And she went in, you will see tonight, what's up? Like, right there, it's defensive. And right there, it's she's not in a place of holding my hand. And I really went all out. I mean, in my heart, I went all out saying, I'm sorry, let's move on. Why can't you ever say you're sorry? You know, I wasn't expecting her to say she was sorry, but I was expecting her to be a little bit more compassionate and stop trying to bully the girls against me. I'm over that. I walk in a room and she walks out. I mean, come on, you know, we have to work together. Plus we're friends. So that was hard for me. Why did she show up if she didn't want to talk it out?
Right.
I mean, I didn't want anybody else around because, as Steve said a couple times, you've seen on the episodes, one-on-one meet with her. And he was my biggest cheerleader on trying to get us to a place of peace. We're never going to be 100% okay because we both have hurt each other.
Mm-hmm.
I've hurt her. She's hurt me. It's not just one-sided. But I think Steve was so instrumental in me saying, what do you want in the big picture? My big picture is I want to be friends again.
Right.
That was the end of it. It was not there to badger her, hurt her. It came out, why, you know, she asked me a question. I gave her an answer. She didn't tell the truth in a couple of her answers, but I'm not going to badger her with that. That was where she was at. She was not at a place of wanting to reconcile at that time. So it's hard.
Steve, did you get a chance to watch that part of the episode?
We were actually together watching it.
So you give such great advice to Vicky. We've seen this season. Is there anything that you feel like she could have done or should have done differently to get a different outcome?
He thinks always I should do things differently, probably, right?
Well, you know, it's easy being the Monday morning quarterback.
Right.
And watching it and saying, well, I would have said this or I would have said that. But in actuality, I think she has to come in a little bit softer. I think both of them do. It was obvious that both sat down and neither one was going to back up at all. And I think
I backed up.
But sometimes, sometimes the things you say, you know, they're not exactly.
She asked me why, and I gave her an answer why I thought.
Right. But it's very defensive, mm-hmm. the way they were both talking to each other. Each one was being very defensive.
I knew right when she walked in we weren't going to.
Yeah. And the only, you could see it on both of your faces. But I think going forward, if there's going to be a reconciliation, I think it's really important that it does occur. because I think it's consuming both of them. Mm-hmm. I have heard about this now since we met, and I tell you, I would love for them to become friends again so that they're no longer at each other's throat.
Do you think that maybe Shannon is the reason that this time you guys haven't moved forward?
What do you think?
I don't know.
I think there's too many birds chirping in everybody's ear. I've got birds chirping in my ear. Don't ever be friends with her again. Don't ever trust her again. I know Tamara's heart. I know that she cares for me, and I know she loves me, and I love Tamara. There's a lot of opinions going on, and the past is the past. She didn't like my ex-boyfriend. Get over it. Neither did I. He ended up hurting me, not her. So get over it. A private conversation I had with Kelly, I wish I could take it back. I would. But it's not like she's immune from talking crap about me. So I'm willing, God is my witness, to put it behind me. But I can't if she doesn't want to.
Right.
Right? 'Cause then I get defensive, like, well, XYZ happened, and you did this, and I did this. So, you know, I draw a line in the sand. You know, we have the reunion coming up in a couple weeks. I'm going to come from the place of forgiveness, for compassion, and be kind. And she can choose where she wants to fall with that, right? Because I can't make her be okay. We have the same circle of friends.
Are you at all excited for the reunion, like finally to have a chance where people have to sit and kind of come to some sort of resolution?
The reunion's never a good day for anybody because you stir back the whole 18 episodes, gets thrown in your face of everything you should have said differently or wish you said differently. I don't really feel like I'm coming in at a bad place because my whole season was, let's move beyond last year and the year before and the year before. You know, she looks back at the last 3 years. I have a diary filled of stuff that she's done to hurt me publicly. I think she forgets about it, and I'm willing to move past it. So that's kind of showing her that I don't really want to talk about it anymore. I want to come from a place of forgiveness and compassion and loving. And we're grandmothers now. We have children and grandchildren staring at us. What are we showing them? That you can't forgive and you can't move on? I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 55 years old. I don't want to be fighting with women. I want to be whooping it up with the women.
What's interesting is since I've known you, I've only known them to be butting heads. Mm-hmm. And when I watched that thing today, episode. Mm-hmm. I never saw those pictures and mm-hmm. and that film of you guys, how close you were and how much fun you had together. And I honestly have never even had a conversation with Tamara since I've known Vicki.
Yeah.
Not once.
May I suggest you go back and watch from the beginning? It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Journey.
I wanted to ask about the party at Kelly's. Mm-hmm. We're celebrating the
movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you got upset, and it looked like you left Steve. Did you leave Steve behind?
I had to go to work. I literally had to go to work. He's friends with Michael and Dico, so I knew he was safe. I just didn't want him seeing me this upset. I mean, we're in a new relationship. He didn't need to see me screaming at any of the ladies. I went downstairs. It probably wasn't the right time, but I was asked to go downstairs and try to talk to Tamara, and Kelly was already down there. And so, you know, I was trying to get Kelly to be involved in this because I never came from a place of maliciousness when I told Kelly that off camera, that private little thing that has now become a whole season long. And I was trying to get Tamara to know, you've been talking about me for 3-4 years, crap. I just said something, Kelly, privately. And how are you not being able to move on from this? And so when I left Steve there, I pulled over at a restaurant and I got my suit back on and my pearls and I went to work because I actually brought it into the house to change there. And I was so upset. I thought, I got to get composure. I have a workshop this night. I have to speak. And Steve was fine. He knew I had to go back to work. I think you were fine. Weren't you fine? You were with Michael.
I mean, the guys are always fine.
Right.
You know, like he had said that day, you know, we have a beer, we have a fight, we have a beer, and we make up. I think right. I'm kind of like a guy in a girl's body because I don't like fighting. I hate conflict, but I'm not going to let somebody roll over me.
Right.
You know, I can't lay down and say, okay, yeah, I'm totally guilty. I did everything wrong. I didn't do everything wrong. I did a couple things wrong. I shouldn't have confided in Kelly. Who would have known on a bus in Iceland at 3 a.m. that the producer would have gotten their cell phone cameras out and recorded all that? Cameras were under the bus. That was never supposed to have been aired. So they used all that footage from cell phones.
Let's change it up to a fun question.
Yes.
Who is the last Bravo celebrity you've texted with?
Either Peggy or Kelly, probably. Actually, it was Lydia. Well, one of the three. We're all in a communication. So I haven't talked to Tamara or Shannon, a little bit of Megan, but Peggy and Kelly and Lydia and myself, we're all good. Like, we're coming from a good place. I mean, Kelly, as you know, is going through a little bit of bumpiness, and I'm there for her. I told her that, you know, so she's, you know, unfortunately, I went through a divorce publicly. It's terrible.
So you think that it will culminate in a divorce?
I do. You know, she had told me she had filed 5 years ago and the papers were still in the courts. So I don't think that they have to do much. I mean, the unfortunate part is we love both of them together as a couple. And I just want Kelly happy. I want Michael happy equally. You know, if you're not happy in a relationship, you either fix it or you get out.
No. Last question. I read a report. You two are engaged. Is that true?
No, it's not.
She's holding up her hand, but she could be hiding it.
There's nothing on that. There's nothing on that finger.
Are you surprising me? And watch what happens live.
Oh my God, please.
You know, I actually got a text from a friend of mine that was in Hawaii that was asking me the same question. I said, I have no idea where that came from.
Wow, maybe surprising me. I will say yes, honey.
Oh, you heard it here first. I adore him. They're practically engaged.
I adore him. He's like my everything. I adore him.
So. Thank you guys so much for coming on.
This Where did you read that we're engaged? I didn't even read that.
I think it was Radar Online.
Oh, figures.
Yeah. Oh, no wonder.
Mr. Reputable Source.
Not exactly the truth indicator.
It's the New York Times.
So whatever. So well, good. Good talking to you.
Thank you, Vicky, and especially thank you, Steve. I know she kind of tricked you into coming on the podcast, but we so appreciate it.
But now let's get into Captain Lee for our version of a captain's log. Hey everyone, it's Rachel here, and I am here with Captain Lee. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. It's
yes.
a pleasure.
We were just talking about your crazy schedule, and you were telling me a story about Greece.
Yeah, you had to fly over there to look at a boat. I was on the boat for less than an hour. Went back to the hotel, got a few hours sleep, and got back on a plane.
Oh my gosh.
On the ground about, I don't know, less than 24 hours.
Oh my God. But you prefer that kind of?
Oh, hell no.
No. Okay. No. I was going to say just like lifestyle of traveling and not being stuck in one place.
Not that quick.
Right. Is there anywhere you haven't been that you want to go?
Oh, God, there's an endless list of places I want to go.
Oh, really?
South Pacific. I want to do the South Pacific someday.
Like the musical.
Yeah. Kind of more like Captain Bligh, Fletcher Christian, that kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, Tahiti, Bora Bora, all those exotic places.
That sounds amazing. What's your favorite place that you've been?
I don't think I've been there yet.
You're still searching.
Looking.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk to you about just being on the show. Being a sea captain for so many years, did you ever think you would wind up on a television show?
Not in my wildest dreams. Had no clue this was coming.
So how did that all happen?
It was kind of an accident. I was working on a boat, and Bravo wanted to charter the boat for the show. And they had their own captain. They had their whole crew. Everybody was in place. And for one reason or another, the captain couldn't fulfill his obligations. So I said, well, let's use Lee. And so it was just right place, right time, I guess. Got lucky?
Yeah. Well, I think Bravo got lucky.
Oh, thank you.
Because you are definitely a standout. I want to talk about how, you know, you're the stud of the sea. How has all this attention been?
It can be overwhelming at times because nobody gives you a little handbook where it says, when this happens, turn to page 32, read this paragraph and act accordingly. So when you first, I remember the first time somebody recognized me when I was out having dinner with my wife. And you know how sometimes you'll catch somebody, you think somebody's looking at you, and then you'll look over and they'll just quick turn away?
Yeah.
Well, that kept happening at the restaurant. And then they were just blatantly staring.
Uh-huh.
And I kept going like, what are they looking at? And they came over and wanted to get a picture taken.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And I guess that's what... You know, back in the day, it used to be autographs. Everybody wanted an autograph from a famous individual. Now they want pictures,
right.
Selfies taken. And it was so cute because this was a place that we frequented on a regular basis. And so after she had her picture taken, then three or four more people wanted to get their picture taken. And and one of the little bus girls who worked for the bar. It was the bartender's daughter that also worked at the restaurant. And she wanted to get her picture taken. And then she came over with a pen and a piece of paper. And I thought she wanted an autograph. And that's never happened to me before. But she said the funniest thing. She said, "Will you write your name down so I know who you are?" That will bring you back to earth real quick.
Right, right. When someone has to ask you who you are.
Because
why are
she
people
just
taking
knew
pictures?
You were famous, but she didn't know who you were. But she knew you were famous and wanted the picture just in case.
That's so funny.
She was like 16 or 17. It was just right. Hilarious.
So what would happen if one of your stews said that to one of your charter guests? I'm sure there's protocol on how to deal with famous people and guests. And
When we have famous people on board, we don't acknowledge or make them feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to have their privacy and to have it respected. And we do. And if somebody got out of line, they'd probably lose their job.
Mm. Do famous people tend to be more difficult charter guests or?
The ones that I've had on board haven't. And I can't tell you who they are
right,
because
it's a mystery.
Most of the time you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Of course.
So, but most of the people that I've had on board have been very, very gracious and easy to get along with. But I have heard some horror stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give us a blind item?
No.
I love it. I wanted to talk about, you have all these amazing sayings and phrases and just great turns of phrase. Do you just come up with all of them on your own?
Yeah, I think it's my lack of filter that contributes greatly to that. If it pops into my head, usually it'll go straight to my mouth before I realize I've said it.
As a captain, I feel like that probably helps you, but has it ever, this lack of filter, gotten you into trouble?
Not trouble. Has it provided me with an embarrassing moment or two? Oh, without a doubt.
So did you watch Below Deck Mediterranean?
I did.
What did you think of Captain Sandy?
We have different styles of management, and she's competent at what she does. I thought she was a little tense.
Mm.
And, you know, it may have just been the first time, you know, having cameras around, which contributed that fact, and I'm sure anyone could understand that. But I thought she acquitted herself rather well.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a lot of things going on and a lot of people to deal with. And, you know, people that watch Below Deck, when they tune into Below Deck Med, they can't expect to see the same thing.
Right.
They have to understand that, it's different. So they have to change their level of expectation
mm-hmm.
as to what they think they're going to see. Because it's not going to be just a carbon copy of our show.
Right, of course.
It can't be. And I think she's dealing with it well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. I loved her this season. Like you said, very different styles. I feel like she was, laid back isn't the word, but I feel like people maybe got away with stuff that I was like, oh, I don't know how Captain Lee would feel about this. So what is it like as a captain now, seeing kind of behind the scenes of what a crew does when you're not there?
That's always an eye-opener. I think that's probably been the most revealing thing that's come out of Below Deck for me. As a captain, one of my favorite sayings is, what's the difference between God and a captain? Is God doesn't think he's a captain. So captains usually think that they're the know-all be-all and they're just the cat's ass. And they think they know everything about their crew. My crew would never do this. My crew would never do that. Well, you give me a film crew in 1 week on board any boat out there, and I'll show them things about their crew they would have never believed.
Right.
Because that's what happened to me.
But like in what instances?
Well, you just realize you don't realize what you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit there and you think, you know, I've known this person for a long time, and they would never do that. Oh, yeah, they would. Yeah, they would. And they did. And here it is on film.
Has your opinion ever changed about anyone and just been like, I had no idea that all of that was happening?
Yeah, to say that, you know, when you perceive something to be one way and then you find out the reality of it's totally different. If your perception doesn't change, then you're probably just stupid.
Right, that's true. You got to be affected by seeing it.
You have to.
Definitely.
Camera doesn't lie.
No. So we see people get let go a lot in the past few seasons of Below Deck. Is that normal for a charter to have to replace people so often?
How do I put this delicately? I just have extremely high standards. I don't tolerate fools lightly. I have a very low level of tolerance for stupid. To me, being ignorant is just not knowing. But stupid is knowing better and doing it anyhow. And when I get one dose of stupid, I don't have time for that.
Mm-hmm. Right, because I feel like things become dangerous on the boat.
They can be.
Right.
And, you know, when you're given a direct order to do something, there's a reason behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually involves something to do with safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I need it done now. Like a line being tied off properly or being done immediately. You don't have the luxury sometimes of looking at it and going like, well, I don't think he's right in asking me to do this. I think I should do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be evident on tonight's episode.
I feel like in past seasons we've seen going in and out of the harbor is the most seems to be the most difficult part, or at least drama-induced part when I'm watching it.
Sure, because the reason is because you've got it's close quarters, and you're dealing with very expensive toys.
Right.
So when you smack one, you know, it's going to get very expensive to repair. It's not just a paint chip.
So we see that in the trailer for this season. Mm-hmm. You kind of talked about it a little bit, but giving us the context of, like, why that's such a big deal that happened.
There's certain elements when you're docking and undocking, and so lines have to come off in order to release the boat in a certain order and at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not done in that exact order and done immediately when you need it done, to have a line stay on the dock and attached to the boat for 5 or 10 seconds longer than it should take, you can spend a lot of money in 10 seconds.
Wow. A lot of pressure.
Yeah. So when you tell somebody to cut loose of a line and they don't, and you're already committed to a certain action that you've already taken, you've already initiated, you've already instigated that action with the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got 565 tons moving in one direction, and now it can't any longer because somebody didn't untie a line.
Oh, gosh, I can't even imagine. That seems way more stressful than, like, talking to a housewife, like my job.
Yeah.
I want to talk more about what you're seeing behind the scenes and stuff. And what has happened? So hookups on the boat, hookups with charter guests, is that like a big no for you? Or what do you think? Because Kate, yesterday we talked to her and she said, I think everything's fine. If you want to hook up with someone, just do it.
Hookups with charter guests? Yeah, I'm not going to be a fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
Hookups on the boat, you can sit there and tell them not to do it, but what's the point?
Right.
It's like putting a screen door in a bathroom. Why bother?
Right, right.
It's just going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're never going to prevent it.
Okay.
You hope you can keep it at a minimum and try to keep it from interfering with the natural flow of order of things on a boat to where it doesn't, you know, disrupt things.
Right.
Like, you know, it's all great when they're all in love, but as soon as the honeymoon's over and the first, you know, trouble in paradise raises its ugly head, then all of a sudden the rest of the crew gets affected by it.
Right.
Because so-and-so is not talking to so-and-so. And she's not sneaking into my bunk anymore. And
right.
She's maybe looking for somebody else. And now all of a sudden it's disruptive.
Right.
That in turn affects the crew. And then if it affects the crew, it affects the guests.
Right. So cabin fever is real.
It's very real. Yeah. You can take the biggest boat out there, 500-600 feet. And after about 2 or 3 months on it, not getting off, it gets small.
Right. Yes, I can only imagine.
when you realize you're just confined to that area. That's your whole life.
Oh, gosh. Does the being on the ocean make it feel bigger at all or no?
No.
Okay, that's just in my
nice,
head then.
Nice theory.
Yeah, I was like, maybe you feel like it's spacious. So you're on Watch What Happens Live with Jax this week.
Yes.
Have you watched Vanderpump Rules? Are you familiar?
Yes.
To me, I find Lisa Vanderpump like the captain of Sir.
I think that's a good analogy.
Right?
Yeah.
What would you do if you had someone like Jax to kind of get him in shape?
I'm not sure. I would have to, I'd have to assess the situation, give it more thought. What works for me is not necessarily going to work for somebody else.
Yeah.
And I haven't been exposed to his patterns of behavior. Or misbehavior,
as it might be. That's probably the word. So we have a fun thing. You know, there's Sophie's Choice. We do a Sophie Stanbury's Choice because she's one of our ladies of London.
It's Sophie Stanbury here. Get the tunes on because I'm ready to dance, bitch.
If you can only work with one for the rest of your time as a captain, would it be Chris Brown or Bruno?
Wow.
I tried to make it hard.
Well done. Yeah. Is suicide an option?
Man overboard,
yeah.
If you will.
Chum. That's that bloody stuff we put in
right,
the water.
Right, right.
Oh, God. I really have to choose.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Sophie Stanbury's choice.
I guess I'd have to choose Bruno.
Okay.
He may have some redeeming qualities. I think Chris is more or less lights on, nobody's home.
Hmm. All right. Well, you heard it here first. He's choosing Bruno if he had to not be chum.
Yes.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Have you always worn so much jewelry or been a man that likes jewelry?
My wife buys it for me.
Oh, really?
And yeah, I mean, I like it.
Oh, I love that.
I'm comfortable in it. And she picks it out and I wear it.
Aw, well, what does she think about all the attention?
She thinks it's hilarious.
I'm sure.
She's going, I don't get it.
That's so funny. Thank you so much for your time. This was amazing. I think I learned a lot today. Just life wisdom, boat wisdom. And yeah, thanks for stopping by.
Pleasure is mine. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. There were so many things that I just loved about that experience. First of all, he walks in and he's wearing cowboy boots, holding like a leather satchel, backpack, bag. And it was just like everything you would think Captain Lee would be. He is, and it's amazing. Number two, so nice and lovely. And then he was willing to take a silly It Takes Two back-to-back picture with me. So Captain Lee is like my favorite person ever. So wise, so just lovely in person. Oh, there it is. Grace just showed me the photo and I'm like super excited about it. It just made my day, like week, really. I'm so jazzed right now. So thank you again.
So this was kind of a weird week, but next week we're going to be back in the same room at the same time, traveling over for a while.
Yep. We'll be talking to Stephanie from Dallas and Carrie from Dallas about all the craziness that's been happening down south. And I got to talk to Shervin, my best friend from San Jose, repping the 408, about all of these cheating allegations and that crazy finale.
Remember, you can always join in on the conversation by tweeting us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. And you can find me on Twitter at Meg Segura.
You can find me at Rachy Robb. And let us know what you're thinking. What did we miss? Don't Be Tardy started this week. We didn't get to talk about that. And they're in Italy, and it's the most amazing thing ever. So please watch that and tweet me your thoughts.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.